Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello, and welcome to our show, Jump Right In, a production of 1111 Broadcasting. So the president spoke. I didn't listen. I never do. I never listen to the State of Union address when it's live. I always read the transcripts afterwards, and this speech could not have followed a better show than our show last night. This is Splash, and my pond is open. Last night, the president stepped into the spotlight to look at as unlame as he possibly could to kick off his lame duck era. I read the transcript and a lot of the analysis, and as always, I have my own take. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about this speech, especially in relation to last night's show, because this speech, if nothing else, will divide us, the electorate, the political other, the red-headed stepchild. It will divide us even more than Washington politics has divided us in all of Obama's first 6 years. Lots to cover, lots to discuss. I got to tell you, I haven't timed out this show. I have no idea whether I'm going to go the entire hour or if I'm going to flat run out of time. So we will see. But the number to call is 215-383-5730. And I encourage you to jump right in. That's 215-383-5730. Wade carefully, if you must, into my pond. But remember, in my pond, everyone swims at their own risk. We'll be here for the next hour doing the thing I love to do most, talking smack about politics. And tonight our focus is on the president's speech. What did you think? I want to know. We now have a blog, so go to our so all our shows are posted, past, present, and future. Go to 1111broadcasting.com, and you can listen to your heart's content. You can comment on a show, listen, or just say hi. I recommend last night's show as a prelude to this one, if you missed it, but you are here now, so listen to that later. It is called This, That, and the Political Other. You can also follow me on Facebook at 1111 Broadcasting. That's our show page. The Facebook page is new to me, so I don't know all the ins and outs of social media. But I do know that you can listen to the show right there on my Facebook page just by clicking the little play button. So that's 1111 Broadcasting. That's my Facebook page for the show. Now, if you miss a show, of course, don't sweat it. Show links are listed on the blog and on the Facebook page, so just go to 1111broadcasting.com. Now, you can jump right into the show chat room tonight. You'll need a free login from Blog Talk Radio. It takes less than a minute. Put in your email address, pick a screen name, a password, and voila! You can jump right in to the chat room, pick on people, or even pick on me. I can take it, folks. I know I can. Of course, you don't need to create an account to call. Just dial the number right there at the top of the show page. The number to call, 215-383-5730. If you're listening on Facebook, that's 215-383-5730. And I would love to talk to you. You can even listen when you call in. You're hearing the show right over your telephone. It'll be your time to shine, so call, give me a call and put me to the test. Now, before we get into the show, let me tell you about Choice Mattress and Furniture. When it comes to mattresses and bedding, David Ritter and the staff at Choice Mattress and Furniture know their stuff. I took my whole family to Choice Mattress. Everything was considered, from our weights to each of our ages to even the ways that each of us sleeps. The right mattress was personally selected for each of us. Now my whole family sleeps in great comfort all night long on beds from Choice Mattress, and yours can too. Every mattress carried by Choice Mattress comes with a 5, 10, or 15-year 100% full replacement warranty, not a prorated warranty like the other stores. Chances are that if you bought a bed in the Daytona Beach area in the last 20 years and you bought it from David, with over 20 years of experience, David knows beds. And you should see all the other fine lines of furniture Choice Mattress has for every room in your home. Go see David and the fine folks at Choice Mattress and Furniture, located at 1501 North Nova Road in Holly Hill. That's at the corner of LPGA and Nova Road. Or you can give them a call, ask any questions you like, 386-226-BEDS. That's 386-226-2337. Choice Mattress, simply the best choice you can make in your sleep. Now, so to remind you, I never listen to the State of Union Address live. I've never done it. I read the transcripts afterwards. I catch some of the analysis on the internet. And then I form my own opinions, my own take, my own analysis, if you will. Incidentally, I'm not the only one that didn't listen live, as Nielsen reports record low ratings for the State of the Union address. Obama attracted just shy of 32 million viewers, and he's been in steady decline ever since his first State of the Union address, which drew 52 million viewers. That was actually 2009. Which was not really a State of the Union address. It was his first address to a joint Congress. There was no State of the Union to report. But each year, he has steadily declined from there. And actually, this year was a record low. This year's speech replaces last year's as the second lowest rating since Nielsen began recording viewership in 1993. He replaces Bill Clinton's last State of the Union address as the lowest on record since Nielsen started recording speeches, the viewerships, back in 1993. That's right, W did not hold the record for least viewers in any of his. So how about that? Now, here's the deal about this speech. You know, Obama is kind of between a rock and a little bit of a hard place here. I mean, he's in his lame duck session. He's wanting to maintain relevance. I understand that. If I was president, I'd want to do the same thing. But he told his fellow Democrats that he's going on offense. So while the veto is a defensive, really, to its core, we get pretty good glimpse last night of what the president meant by offense, what he is doing. What is he doing other than goaltending under the basket, batting away sure shots? Picture Obama trying to steal third base. He's caught in a pickle. McConnell's playing second. Boehner's playing third. McConnell's telling Obama, look, stay here where it's safe. Negotiate with us. Compromise with us. But Obama's third base coach, and you can pick any progressive that you want to play this third base coach, they're waving him in. They're telling him not just to steal third, but to go for home. So Obama takes off, and Boehner, playing third, just shakes his head saying, I knew he was going to do that. What is he doing? So Obama's caught. He's running back and forth to avoid being tagged out by the glove of irrelevance. He throws his goodies at the people, then a little goodie here and a little goodie there, and all the while he will take it away from the people in the skyboxes in order to pay them. Free hot dogs and ice cold beer for everyone, he yells to the people in the stands. The people cheer, but they know he's just shouting. They know he can't deliver, and they know he's going to be called out. So no one will get a free hot dog. No one will get a free beer. No one will get anything. Why? Because this is what happens between second and third base. You're trapped. There's no chance to get home. The pickle you get caught in serves up some short-term excitement until the runner is tagged out, and then he's hanging his head for the walk of shame back to the dugout. This was Obama's speech last night, an exciting pickle that will end with Obama and his fellow Smurfs called out in 2016. And that's just the way that it's going to play out, barring any like huge mishaps on the Elmo side of the aisle. Of course, there's plenty of opportunity for that, as we've seen in the past. And I just have to say, on the heels of our show last night, this speech could not have been more perfect. If there ever was an example of divisive politics, this speech was it. So many gems that refer right back to last night's show, and I will share them with you. The number to call to give me your take, 215-383-5730. That's 215-383-5730. And a lot of interesting stuff in this speech. Obama, of course, ended his opening paragraph With a confession, really, it has been and still is a hard time for many. So he started out bragging a little bit, but the reality is he recognizes that the economy has not been recovering for everybody, especially the middle class that he always is giving lip service to. He starts bragging again. Our unemployment rate is now lower than it has been before the financial crisis. Wow, what a difference one paragraph can make, right? So much for the confessions. Our labor participation rate is the lowest it's been since, wait for it, 1978 and Jimmy Carter. I swear to you that this president is the only one in history that believes the way to achieve full employment is to get enough people to give up looking for work and drop out of the labor pool. He said more of our kids are graduating than ever before. Of course, we do have more kids. More of our people are insured than ever before. That's true at quite the expensive cost. We are free from the grips of foreign oil as we've been in almost 30 years, something that he had absolutely nothing to do with. The oil boom right now, folks, is something that started years ago with research and development, especially in the area of fracking. They used to have to bring that rock up out of the ground in order to squeeze the oil from that shale. Now they do it while it's under the ground. It's quite cost effective, and Obama wants to take all the credit for that. That's just something that was going to happen no matter who was president right now. But tonight, he says, for the first time since 9/11, our combat mission in Afghanistan is over. 6 years ago, nearly 180,000 troops served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Today, fewer than 15,000 remain. Now, folks, going to have to define combat mission there, because our troops, Obama himself signed an executive order commanding our troops to pursue Al-Qaeda and Taliban affiliates wherever they can find them in Afghanistan. Those are orders to the troops, the 11,000 troops that remain there in Afghanistan. Is that a combat mission? I think most people would consider it a combat mission. Be that as it may, he has reduced the troops as promised, be it years late. The shadow of the crisis, Obama says, has passed, and the State of the Union is strong. Listen to what I'm saying, folks. This line right here, this fabrication will come back to haunt the Smurfs right into 2016. Do you remember when McCain said, our economy, I think, still, the fundamentals of our economy are strong. Do you remember the hell he caught for that? Especially when shortly after, not too long after, our economy collapsed with the banking and housing collapse. He was commenting because this was between, remember, when the government actually took over Freddie and Fannie Mac and before the announcement of TARP. And the forcing of money onto the I think, six biggest banks, seven biggest banks in the country. McCain said that, and he caught hell for that through the entire campaign. It was one of the things that was resounding through ads over and over and over again in the airwaves. So Obama said the shadow of the crisis has passed, and the State of the Union is strong. Don't get me wrong. I want the state of our union to be strong more than anyone. But the state of our union was strong at the time of Reagan's fifth State of the Union address. It was strong at the time of Clinton's fifth State of the Union address. It was even strong at the time of W's fifth State of the Union address. To claim that the state of our union is strong at this time, while Obama gave his fifth State of the Union address, is at best some dream from which Obama has not yet awakened. The state of our union can be described as improving, hopefully turning a quarter, better than it was in 2013, but strong. I appreciate the optimism, but that'll only get us so far. Gas prices are way down. You can attribute nearly every economic indicator that has improved, from consumer confidence to the recent hiring uptick, on this factor alone. Did Obama have anything to do with that? Can't say that he did. Can't say that that was anything that any policy that he took. Now people are feeling better, not because of Obama and his policies, but in spite of Obama and his policies. And on the flip side, the labor participation rate is at its lowest level in 35 years. They can only find there are people that can only find part-time work. I'll have that number in a minute. When they want full-time, and that remains steadily high. So does the number of people unemployed long-term. So does the number of discouraged workers that have just flat given up looking for work. Retail sales in December—that's Christmas, folks—were down 0.9%. That's the biggest drop in retail sales in 11 months, and the 7% increase of retail sales in November that led many to think that it was beginning to look a lot like Christmas was revised downward to 4%, to 0.4%. So for the two biggest months of the year, we saw a 0.5% decline. That's huge, hugely disappointing, that is. Other factors fact checks on Obama's claims on the recovery. The job growth has been healthy, and nobody can deny that, thank goodness. But it was fueled by lower-paying jobs in the areas such as retail and restaurant, which have replaced many higher-paying positions in manufacturing and construction. Part-time jobs also remained elevated. There are still 1.7 million fewer workers with full-time jobs than when the recession began in December 2007. And the faster hiring hasn't pushed wages up either. They've been growing at a tepid pace of about 2% a year since the recession ended 5.5 years ago. That's barely ahead of the inflation and below the annual pace of about 3.5% to 4% that is typical of a full and healthy economy, a full and healthy and strong State of the Union. That has left the income of typical households in pre-recession levels. Inflation-adjusted median household income reached $53,880 in November of 2014, according to analysis of government data. That is about 4% higher than when it bottomed out in 2011, but it's still 4.5% lower than it was in December of 2007. Before the recession began. Booming energy production is indeed a reality, but the phenomenon was many years in the making, with development of cost-effective extractions from fracking and other means displaying playing into the rise of U.S. and energy giants. So the very, very important thing to remember here is that what Obama said, that our economy is strong, that's going to come back and bite them right in the derriere. So should the president be declaring the state of our union strong? And how does this reconcile? How does he reconcile that with his opening paragraph where he said it has been and still is a hard time for many? That's not strong. I guess that depends on your definition of many, of course. If you define many as millions, then the state of our union is not strong. And this statement, the shadow of crisis has passed. Let me translate this for you. Here's what Obama's saying. Look, folks, I know that blaming Bush is and actually has become a broken record and an excuse that has long since lost its effectiveness on the electorate. I got a lot of mileage out of it, but the time has come for me to blame my predecessor no more, or one last time, now that things seem to be improving. Obama went on to say, at this moment, with a growing economy, shrinking deficits, bustling industries, and booming energy production, all of which, by the way, he had nothing to do with, he says, we have risen from the recession freer to write our own future than any other nation on earth. Remember that line, folks. It will return down the river in this speech and in a contrary fashion. And then it starts. Again, the war on class, the division, the wedge. But before we get into the wedge and the war on class, let me remind you that when it comes to mattresses and bedding, David Ritter and the staff at Choice Mattress and Furniture know their stuff. My whole family is now sleeping in beds from Choice Mattress, and you cannot say enough about the benefits of a great night's sleep on a mattress chosen especially for you. And check out all the other fine furniture Choice Mattress has for every room in your household. They are located at 1501 North Nova Road in Holly Hill. Any questions, give them a call, 386-226-BEDS. That's 386-226-2337. Choice Mattress, simply the best choice you can make in your sleep. So back into the show. Look, folks, it starts again. The war on class. The division driving deeply that wedge between one set of Americans and another. Obama said, will we accept an economy where only a few of us do spectacularly well? So it's no longer Bush's fault. That just isn't effective anymore. Now it's the achievers' fault. Front and center, the achievers, the ones that get ahead, the ones that were successful. Now, if Obama was talking about the uber rich, that's the top sliver that is so rich that percentage is such a smidge that it's immeasurable as a percentage. You have to actually just list the people. If that's who he's talking about, then I'm with him. But that has never been the definition of an achiever for Obama. That his definition, as is with many Smurfs, hovers around $200,000 per year in income. He goes on to say, or will we commit ourselves to an economy that generates rising incomes and chances for everyone who makes the effort? And so, folks, the battle lines are drawn. Should things be taken from some and given to the others? Or should we be just simply left to be jealous and envious? Will we allow ourselves, Obama says, to be sorted into factions and turned against one another, or will we recapture the sense of common purpose that has always propelled America forward? He sounds like me there. Will we allow ourselves to be sorted into factions? Did I not talk all last night about the power of the people? If we would just unite and set those divisive issues that politicians like Barack Obama put front and center. I hate to point out the obvious, but this country has never been as divided into factions along every fault line in society than it has been since Barack Obama took office. On no front does there seem to be less division, especially regarding race relations. The fire on which Obama has thrown more gasoline than water, starting right away out of the gate with Professor Gates and Obama's statement that the Boston police acted stupidly. Obama says, in 2 weeks, I will send this Congress a budget filled with ideas that are practical, not partisan. Warning, warning, partisan alert. Any time a politician, especially Barack Obama, says that their ideas are practical, not partisan, neither is likely to be true. And Obama said, and in the months ahead, I'll crisscross the country making a case for those ideas. Translation, I will never step out of campaign mode to actually start being president. I haven't done it yet, except for tea time, and I'm not going to start now. So he's focusing on a checklist of things here that he thinks need to be done. I'm going to skip this story that he had about Rebecca and Ben Erler, the details of it. If you heard the speech, then you know it. These people, but basically these people did what I'm about to announce, or what I'm about to repeat and what Obama announced. They did this on their own without any of the freebies that Obama is about to announce. So I'm skipping a lot of the personal story, but here is what the family did. Rebecca took out student loans, enrolled in community college, these are Obama's words, and retrained for a new career. They sacrificed for each other, her and her husband, Rebecca and Ben. And slowly, it paid off. They bought their first home. They had a second son, Henry. Rebecca got a better job and then a raise. Ben is back in construction and home for dinner every night. What that has to do with it, I don't know. It's amazing. This is a quote. He was quoting now Rebecca. Rebecca said, "It is amazing what you can bounce back from when you have to. We are a strong, tight-knit family who has made it through some very, very hard times." Special points I want to make here. It is amazing what you can bounce back from when you have to. All the tools are there. If you want to bounce back, you can bounce back. We are a strong, tight-knit family. You see, they are strong, even though our state of our union is not. The family unit, these people, are strong. Made it through hard times. How did they do this? By having others do it for them? By waiting for Obama to do it for them? Did they blame anyone else for stopping them, standing in their way, holding them back, not helping them? Yes, indeed. As Rebecca said, it is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Obama said, "America, Rebecca and Ben's story is our story." Sounds a lot like, if I had a son, he could have been Trayvon Martin. There really is a set mold for this kind of politics. But folks, that is our story. We have always pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps. When we talk about the generation, my father's generation and his father's generation, that is what they did when times were tough. And Obama says that Rebecca and Ben represent the millions who have worked hard, scrimped and sacrificed and retooled. Absolutely true. All true. This is how it's done. You want something, you work for it. You sacrifice for it. But here is where Obama takes a different path of doing it for us rather than marveling at us doing it for ourselves. Skipping a lot of BS here, folks, in this speech where we're claiming a lot of credit for things that are not us, with the exception of ACA and the debatable benefits of that. But so I skipped a bunch of those things that he was bragging about, especially like low oil prices and gasoline prices, most of which he had nothing to do with. You can review them if you like, if you didn't hear them last night. But he goes on to say, "So the verdict is clear. Middle-class economics works. But here's the thing." This is Obama speaking. "Those of us here tonight, we need to set our sights higher than just making sure government doesn't halt the progress we're making. We need to do more than just do no harm." God, that sounds familiar to me. "Tonight, together, let's do more to restore the link between hard work and growing opportunity for every American." He has just got done describing how this couple did just that. They made the connection between working and growing opportunity for every American. How is it possible? How all the tools for retooling were already there for them. And here is the kickoff. Obama says, "Because families like Rebecca still need our help. She and Ben are working as hard as ever, but they have to forego vacations and a new car so they can pay off student loans and save for retirement." You know, that is the way it's done. That's the way it was done way back in the good old days when things supposedly weren't all screwed up. My parents bought used car after used car. Sometimes we had to forego vacation. I had to get student loans. They scrimped. They saved. They sacrificed. That was then. How has it changed? So here is the defense of this change in approach that Obama wants us to make. Like millions of hardworking Americans, Rebecca isn't asking for a handout. Good. That's the way it should be. Now let's let Obama lower the boom here. But she is asking that we look for more ways to help families get ahead. Okay, folks, that's a handout, pure and simple. And that's exactly what Obama translates it into in his speech. But Obama's justification? He says, in fact, at every moment of economic change throughout history, this country has taken bold action to adapt to new circumstances and to make sure everyone gets a fair shot. We set up worker protections like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid to protect ourselves from the harshest adversities. Forget that Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare are handouts. Obama said Rebecca wasn't asking for. How is that giving everyone or anyone a fair shot? They actually rob your paycheck every week, removing almost 7.5% of your paycheck that you work for to get your fair shot so that you can have a fair shot at living in poverty when you're older. Not only that, but there's a good argument to be made that if they didn't take the matching 7.5% from your employer, that your employer might actually pay you more. Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't, but that 7.5% goes somewhere. Where is it a fair shot to take this money out of your check? Obama is defending the handouts that he wants to give with the handouts that we have given while calling them fair shots instead of what they are, handouts. Listen to the first two words of the next sentence. We gave our citizens, schools and colleges, infrastructure and the internet, tools they needed to go as far as their efforts will take them. And we gave. There's the battle line, folks. Government is the solution. And so Obama says that's what the middle class economics is. The idea that the country does best when everyone gets their fair shot, everyone does their fair share, and everyone plays by the same set of rules. Now, while I'm all for everyone getting a fair shot, doing their fair share, and playing by the same rules, if this is true, then why, under Obama's middle-class economics, has the income and wealth gap continued to widen even at a faster rate under Obama than ever before? How is the verdict clear that middle-class economics, otherwise known as Keynesian economics, how is the verdict clear that that works? Remember how I was talking last night about intentional political cycles that work to funnel our money up the food chain and into the pockets of the very, very few? This is that exact action, folks. If you missed it, go to 1111broadcasting.com and listen to this, that, and the political other. This is exactly what we're talking about here. Being convinced to move in a specific direction that ends up funneling our money up the food chain and into the pockets of the very, very few anyway. And isn't it funny how liberal regressives change a word's meaning when they worked so hard to give it a negative connotation? Anti-abortion became pro-choice. Liberal became progressive. Keynesian economics is now becoming middle-class economics. Just like fair share became the progressives' fairness. They redefine everything. Look how they redefined full-time employment from 40 hours a week down to 30 hours a week. Look how we were talking about the new norm at the beginning of Obama's presidency. There are so many changes in what has garnished a negative connotation. Change the word, change the meaning, change the impression. That's liberal regressive politics. So Obama says, so what does middle class economics require in our time? Brace yourselves, because here comes the short list of goodies. First, Obama says, middle class economics means helping working families feel more secure. That's government as a solution. Security in a world of constant change. That means helping folks afford, here's your list, child care, college, health care, a home, retirement, and my budget will address each of these issues, lowering the taxes of working families and putting thousands of dollars back into their pockets each year. And there is the mass voter purchase. It is an open confession an advertisement to people, is your vote for sale? It has always amazed me. Always amazed me how so many people are willing to trade their most precious right as an American citizen, their right to vote, for mere trinkets. Of course, the trinkets are now these days not so much trinkets anymore. They're becoming more and more expensive as people hold out for more, hold out their vote for more and more goodies. Remember, right after Obama was elected, the really excited Obot that just couldn't believe it. She was jumping up and down with excitement, jubilantly exclaiming, "I won't have to worry about making my car payment anymore or my house payment anymore." Well, now you won't have to pay for your child care, college, health care, home, and retirement, at least not all of it. But wait, there's more. Because Obama goes on to say, "And that's why my plan will make quality childcare more available and more affordable for every middle-class and low-income family with young children in America by creating more slots," I guess that's spots for children, "and new tax cuts of up to $3,000 per child." So will this be the childcare care like Obamacare? $3,000 per child, what a freebie. That may be Obama's biggest freebie yet. I guess little freebies don't work anymore, do they? Here's another example. Today, we're the only advanced country on Earth that doesn't guarantee paid sick leave or paid maternity leave to our workers. So I'll be taking new action to help states adopt paid leave laws of their own. Understand that this was rejected at the national level by Congress, even when the Senate was controlled by the Democrats. Obama is saying, Congress won't listen to me, so maybe the states will, at least the blue states will. And so he challenges Congress, of course, just for show, send him a bill that gives every worker in America the opportunity to earn 7 days of paid sick leave. It's the right thing to do. You know, Obama can submit a bill to Congress. He doesn't have to wait for Congress to send him a bill. He can submit bills to the floor of Congress. He's allowed to do that. This is a freebie that won't